Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The public is so far beyond where the Congress is. So far ahead of the way they're talking.
That Joe Biden. I don't know if he was trained in music, but he sure knows how to use dynamics. Volume changes from the whisper there to the scream on other occasions. And Biden could get his way on at least some new gun regulation, which he feels so strongly about, as today could be a day for grand bargains. While we're on the air today, we expect to hear about a Senate deal on background checks for gun purchases. We could hear about one on immigration reform with a path to citizenship. And we will probably see President Obama's grand bargain budget for the first time in writing. Is it Grand Bargain Wednesday? Let's check in with one of our local representatives to that cauldron of compromise, Washington, D.C., Congressman Hakeem Jeffries, Democrat from Central Brooklyn. Hi, Congressman. Welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning, Brian. Great to be on.
And let's talk about guns first. You represent a high crime area, parts of your district. I know you're very eager to have these expanded background checks and straw purchaser laws take effect. What are you hearing about this possible deal to move forward in the Senate?
Well, I do believe that things will move forward in the Senate, and hopefully we will get a legislative product coming out of the Senate in short order that involves universal background checks, a federal anti-gun trafficking statute, increased resources for school safety improvements, less certain about any assault weapons ban, of course, or a ban on high-capacity ammunition clips. But for districts such as the one that I represent in Brooklyn and parts of Queens, but the neighborhoods of Ocean Hill, Brownsville, and East New York, and Coney Island, Bedford-Stuyvesant, that for a long period of time have experienced disproportionate levels of gun violence. Closing the gun show loophole and passing a meaningful universal background check law will do more to improve the situation and help halt the illegal flow of guns into the communities that I represent than any other measure that the United States Congress could pass. And so if we're able to get there, that will be a significant step in the right direction.
The politics of background checks are so bizarre because polls show 90% public support for the idea that everyone who buys a firearm should simply be screened in a database for criminal convictions and mental health rulings that are pertinent to firearms risk. And yet I heard Senator Rand Paul on the air yesterday saying he would filibuster, along with Mitch McConnell, the other senator from Kentucky, who's also, of course, the minority leader. I don't know if that's off now with this morning's development, but I want to play a clip of your Republican colleague, Congressman Peter King from Long Island, urging them not to do so.
I believe we should have universal background checks, but even if I did not support that legislation, I would say let this come to a debate. This is an issue which has grabbed hold of the American people. It's an issue which I think has to be resolved. And even if it doesn't go down the way I want it to, I think the American people are entitled to a debate. And to me, to use Senate rules to block a debate on an issue of this importance is just wrong.
Congressman Peter King is broadcast on NPR yesterday. So do you know where that filibuster is going or not going, Congressman?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I find myself agreeing a lot lately with Congressman Peter King. I don't know whether that says I'm becoming more conservative or he's becoming more progressive. But certainly he's right on this, as he was correct as it relates to the politics around the Superstorm Sandy bill, that the American people are focused on this issue, as they should be, coming out of the manner in which the tragedy in Newtown, Connecticut shocked the conscience of the American public. And we need action. We deserve action because every day that we fail to take a meaningful step forward, lives are lost. Brian, I think you know more than 2,000 Americans have died as a result of gun violence since the tragedy in Newtown, Connecticut. and more will continue to die each and every day in neighborhoods that I represent and others across the country unless we take action. We will never be able to meaningfully halt every single act of gun violence, but the president is correct. We must do all we can to minimize it. Other countries have. You know, America, on average, in recent years, has been experiencing in excess of 10,000 gun violence deaths per year. Now, if you look at other Western countries, Germany, 75, Canada, 80, England, 100, Japan, in 1 year, a few years ago, 11. This is a country of 130 million, Brian, that things can be different. America has 5% of the world's population, 50% of the world's guns. Now, we've got a Second Amendment that the Supreme Court has interpreted as providing an individual right to bear arms, but reasonable regulations are permitted. There is no threat to the Constitution that's taking place in the Senate. Well, that might justify a filibuster, but nothing else does.
Let me play an argument by another member of the Senate that tries to make the case that there would be a threat to the constitutional right to bear arms in practical terms, even from background checks. This is about a minute's worth, and it comes from an NPR interview yesterday with Idaho Senator James Risch. Listen to why he says this could, in practical terms, threaten the right to keep and bear arms.
There are some guns purchased at gun shows, but they're also purchased on the internet, through the newspaper, on the street, and everywhere else. And the guns that are purchased in a gun store, or for that matter, at a gun show, if it's from a licensed dealer, that dealer is required to perform a background check. They're trained in it. They do it all the time. It's customary for them. If you expand it beyond that to people who are required to be dealers, and you can sell a handful of firearms every year and not be a dealer, if you expand it to those people, they're going to have to deal with the federal bureaucracy, which is very, very difficult to deal with. And really, if you have the right to keep and bear arms, you should have the rights. It connotes a right to purchase one, to sell one, to trade in one, and you really have to have a robust market if indeed you're going to have a constitutional right.
Republican Senator James Risch of Idaho on All Things Considered yesterday. Congressman Jeffries, want to react to that? Did we lose Congressman Jeffries? Oh, we're having trouble with Congressman Jeffries' line? Okay. So let me put out a call for some of our listeners to chime in on this. And we've had very robust conversations with many of you who are more pro-gun rights or less pro-gun rights. Those of you who consider yourselves very pro-gun rights, this is what's left, apparently, of the post-Newtown gun reform efforts, or at least this is the heart of it now, is this background check legislation. If you're pro-gun rights, maybe you're a gun owner, feel strongly about the Second Amendment. Is this a step too far? Or do you say, yeah, not all that other stuff. Don't ban the clips. Don't ban the so-called assault weapons. But this is okay. Anybody take that position? 212-433-WNYC or gun rights leaning listeners, wherever you are on this. Just this narrow point of universal background checks. Do you agree more with Senator Risch there? Or more with Congressman Jeffries, who I think we have back on the line with us. You there? We're still having problems with his line. Okay, unfortunately. And so as your calls are coming in, another thing. By the way, we are expecting an 11 o'clock news conference, and we will cover this on the show next hour with Senator Toomey, conservative Republican from Pennsylvania, who's got a high rating from the NRA and now is seen as a key to this background checks deal, along with Senator Joe Manchin, a conservative-ish Democrat from conservative-ish state, West Virginia. So I guess the road to gun control runs through Appalachia there, the Pennsylvania to West Virginia corridor. And we'll see what they come up with when they hold the news conference at 11, and we will have coverage. Congressman Jeffries, do we have you back now?
Yes, I'm on the line.
Were you able to hear that clip of Senator Risch?
Yes, I was. And I don't doubt the senator's authenticity as it relates to his particular perspective. But what he was articulating very much sounded like an NRA talking point. And the NRA, of course, interestingly enough, Brian, was for background checks before they were against it. Now, the argument that they've often made, this is the first time I've heard a market-based argument that I don't think holds any merit, notwithstanding the senator's belief in it. But the general argument that we've heard against universal background checks is that they're ineffective. Wayne LaPierre has indicated that someone who has ill intent will not attempt to purchase a gun through means that would require a background check. That is just plain false on the merits. Since 1994, when background checks were first put into effect, 1.9 million Americans have been denied guns because of a felony conviction, domestic violence-related problems, a court order of protection. Now, the problem, of course, is that 40% of the American people who purchase guns don't have to go through a background check process. That is why we think closing that gaping loophole would be extremely significant in minimizing the ability of those who might do harm, who've got these sort of problems, felony convictions, domestic violence issues, from being able to receive a gun through lawful, ordinary means.
Let's take some callers on this. We asked for people who lean pro-gun, is this one piece of gun regulation that you can accept? Is this compromise okay with you if, let's say, they're not doing big magazine bans or assault weapons bans? Ken and Teaneck, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ken.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's your position?
Pro-gun. I am okay with doing the expanded background checks, assuming that the federal government does not have a database on the firearms.
As long as there's no a database of the people who do successfully purchase the firearms.
Correct.
All right. Thank you very much. Is there anything like that in the hopper now, Congressman?
Well, I think that there is – we'll see what the compromise is that emerges out of the Senate, and a lot of it will depend on what some of the more moderate Democratic senators find acceptable. But this general concern that the caller articulated, that the federal government – if it has access to too much information, will one day come after the guns of lawful individuals is a concern that often has been peddled by the NRA. That's not to say that some Americans don't genuinely hold that concern, and it could be a legitimate one, but it's one that I think is inflamed often by the NRA and by the gun manufacturers, and that we should all step back and examine, in the history of the country, are there modern-day examples of the federal government overreaching and zealously going after lawful gun owners in ways that would violate the Second Amendment constitutional principles? And I haven't seen any that have been presented to us.
Robert in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Robert.
Yeah, how you doing? My concern is I have a license for a shotgun in New York City, and it's very difficult to get, I might say, and kind of expensive to go through the whole rigmarole. But I do have one, and my concern is if I transfer this weapon, how do I get rid of it? If I have to, I'm only, I've got one shotgun, mm-hmm. and if there's going to require a background check for, like, my son to give it to him or just to sell it to another person. That's my concern, not gun shows or anything like that.
Well, that's a great question, and that's part of what we'll find out, I think, at 11, unless you already know, Congressman Jeffries, whether the private transfers, even giving a gun to someone, as Robert brings up, or selling a gun to a personal acquaintance or, you know, just any kind of one-on-one sale by an individual to an individual, will the buyer still have to go through a background check?
Well, we're not certain as to the specifics, but I do think that the caller raises a legitimate concern, particularly related to a father-son transfer that is held in many parts of the country. And I do think there will be an effort to separate out as best we can legitimate transfers, particularly between intimates that fall within the reasonable Second Amendment protections that Americans have.
But why shouldn't? And let me ask Robert this if he's still there. Are you there, Robert?
Yes, I am.
Why shouldn't, if Mrs. Lanza wanted to either give or sell a gun to Adam, and Adam had the mental health background that he had. I don't know that he would have failed these background checks, by the way they're going to come out. But if you know, any of these killers who, you know, some of the ones who already had serious mental health histories or criminal backgrounds, and somebody they knew wanted to sell them a weapon as an individual, why shouldn't he have to go through a background check in order to buy? Because maybe that would just be the new gigantic loophole.
Yeah, well, that's exactly the issue. You know, I certainly don't know the answer to it, but I think what you're doing is you're opening up. This can create more problems than it solves, as people would just try to avoid mm-hmm. going through any background check. To me, it would seem like there is no way to prevent it. I guess
right.
that's it.
Okay. Robert, although it would squeeze the pipeline very, very tight if you had to only go to an individual and not any kind of dealer to get a gun, it certainly would, you know, squeeze the pipeline to some degree from what it is now. But that's definitely one of the open questions, and thank you for your call. Before we run out of time, Congressman Jeffries, and my guest is Hakeem Jeffries, Democrat from Central Brooklyn, I want to touch on the president's budget coming in writing today with proposals for deficit reduction through cuts to Social Security and Medicare and by limiting some tax deductions. And the first anti-Obama protester to show up on the budget on Morning Edition today was not from the Tea Party, but from a liberal group opposed to the cuts, a group that gathered near the White House yesterday, including this guy.
Real Democrats do not cut Social Security, Medicare, or Medicaid, period. It is shameful. And I am here to tell you that any Democrat who wants to go along with a proposal like this can look forward to a primary in 2014.
So where are you on this? More pro-Obama or more pro-protester, Congressman?
Well, I think that I'm willing to give the president the benefit of the doubt as it relates to articulating why he believes chain CPI is an appropriate approach, although as the president himself stated in December of 2012, it's an idea that is not supported by most members of the Democratic Party. So I'm breaking no news here, Brian, by saying that I'm strongly inclined against it. However, within the context of the broader package that the president lays out, he's going to put forth a vision for improving the American economy, investing in the American workforce, putting people back to work and dealing with the unemployment deficit that we have and closing the loophole. I think the best budget that has been put forth so far has been the one coming out of the House Democratic Caucus that is designed to invest in the American economy, generate increased demand, put people back to work, which if you grow the economy, Brian, at the end of the day, you reduce the deficit and you reduce debt as a percentage of GDP. And even Paul Ryan and Speaker Boehner have conceded we don't have an immediate deficit crisis. And so if we don't, as the other side has conceded, then we've got to be very cautious in how we deal with Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid moving into the future.
And completing our grand bargain trifecta this morning, it's also reported that an immigration compromise in the Senate could come today or in the next few days. What are you hearing about that?
Well, I'm most optimistic about the ability of the United States Congress to vote on and pass comprehensive immigration reform this year. That does create a tough, robust, but attainable pathway towards citizenship for the 11 million Americans who are either undocumented or out of status. The security concerns that were articulated the last time we tried to deal with immigration reform comprehensively in this country in 2006 have disappeared in many ways as an issue used by the other side to stop immigration reform in its tracks. 2006, they argued that we needed 20,000 Border Patrol agents. We've got 21,300 right now. They said we need 602 miles of fence along the southwestern border. We've got 651 right now. They said we needed 105 video surveillance assets. that's radar and cameras and things of that nature to monitor cross-border activity. We've got 250 assets right now deployed in the United States of America.
But there's another issue that I want to raise with you. In addition to security at the border and what's fair and what's right for the people here out of status, and that's the guest worker provision, which has been one of the most contentious items, partly because of concern about displacing low-wage American workers and keeping wages for all kinds of work low. Your district has a lot of low-income workers and some computer programmers and engineers. Do you object to expanding guest workers for fear that it will mean more native-born unemployment and lower pay across the board?
No, I don't object in that fashion. I think the conversations that have been taking place between the Chamber of Commerce and AFL-CIO and agreements in this regard reflect the general position that on immigration reform, rising tide lifts all boats, and that if we can bring significant numbers of Americans into the system, out of the shadows, and avoid the type of employee exploitation that has been taking place, that is what really drives down wages in many parts of the country, certainly in New York City. And I believe, certainly I'll continue to push for strong employee verification systems, punitive measures for employers who regularly violate the standards that have been put in place, because there are a lot of good employers, but there are some who take advantage of immigrants in a way that's exploitative, and that's what really hurts the American worker.
All right. Let me get one more in our most full-throated supporter of no background checks on the air with you, but we're going to have to do this quickly. Phil in Queens. Hi, Phil. You have 30 seconds.
The background check is a subterfuge for universal registration. In universal registration, in the minds of most gun owners, and there are an estimated 75 to 93 million gun owners.
Is it just the slippery slope argument? If they're background checking today, they're going to register tomorrow?
We don't trust this administration or even more conservative administrations. Yes, universal registration leads to universal confiscation. It's the history of the world. The history of weapons control and gun control is oppression. The Second Amendment cannot be legislated by the Congress in this way.
But if somebody who has a criminal background, who maybe committed a murder even, and is now, you know, served his time and he's out, he should be able to go to a gun store and not go through a background check?
In fact, any felon can apply for a certificate of relief for civil disabilities and be able to apply for
it. But you have to apply for it. Phil, I'm going to leave it there. And Congressman Jeffries, in our last 30 seconds, how about the bill that Senator Gillibrand has been working so hard on that's also related to gun crime in our city, and that is the straw purchasers bill? Is this going to be part of the deal?
I hope it will. It's incredibly important. There is some resistance in the Senate, but the flow of illegal weapons into parts of Brooklyn and Queens and Harlem and the South Bronx that comes up the I-95 corridor is often initiated by straw purchasers, and that's why it's important to eliminate it. And I would say there are more than 250 million guns, we believe, in America. It is impractical to believe that the United States government is out to confiscate the magnitude of the weapons that already exist in this country.
Congressman Hakeem Jeffries, Democrat from Central Brooklyn and a little bit of Queens, thank you very much for coming on with us today.
Thank you for having me, Brian.
And listeners, that news conference that could announce a background checks compromise in the Senate is scheduled for 11 o'clock. We will be talking about it and playing excerpts from it on the show next hour. Coming up next, why are politicians talking about Beyonce and Jay-Z's fifth anniversary? Why is this a federal case? We'll find out.